Malia. Children, you may be dismissed now. If you'd like to move, make your way out. And our men are coming forward. They're going to pass out a special brochure. Much of the presentation tonight is going to be in the brochure that you're about. Wow, look at all these kids going. Scotty and Allison are going to be watching all of these kids. So y'all pray for Scotty and Allison. They were willing to do that because tonight's a special night. We didn't want to have any of our members up there, so Scotty and Allison are going to help take care of that. let me mention, you have, am I still on here? You have in your hands, you're receiving right now, our Forward by Faith. Forward by Faith is the theme for 2018. Our Forward by Faith package. I'm very thankful for our staff that worked hard to put this together. We spent many hours discussing and collaborating these matters. Much of the material that you're going to see tonight in the presentation is actually contained in the Forward by Faith document. Now, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to sit there and read the document, okay? Follow the presentation, then look at, you can look at the document now because it has pretty color pictures. You'll be impressed by all the graphics and things like that. We have people on staff that actually agonize over font and text. I've never understood that. As long as I can read it, you can write it on a paper napkin, I'm satisfied. But we have others that are fancy like that. So you can read this over, take a look at that. But I don't want the printed version to distract you from what we're doing tonight because this is so important. This is Vision Sunday. Our theme this year is Forward by Faith. This morning, I preached a message out of Hebrews chapter 11 regarding the idea that faith really is an action verb. It's not only something that we think or believe or an inward feeling or conviction, but faith itself is something that we do. And Hebrews 11 teaches that the faith that Christians possess in their conquering for the Lord is a very active thing as we move forward by faith. And so our theme, Forward by Faith, is part of our strategy for 2018. We're seeking to stretch and to increase our faith as a church by taking those steps where God has already led, moving forward into other steps. Now, when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about foolishness or unreasonableness. Every person in this room knows that I'm an arch conservative, but I am talking about this, a willingness to move ahead and to trust God for the unknowns. And in any circumstance, there are going to be unknowns. And so you can ask me 1,000. By the way, don't ask me a bunch of what-if questions. What if? We don't ask ourselves what if. That's prognostication. Don't bother with the what-if questions. We want to move straight ahead, step by step by step by faith. Well, Pastor Monty, what if? Ah, cross that bridge when we come to it. And I know we'll cross that bridge or we'll have a life raft or something. Something will happen. We'll all learn how to swim better. But I'm very excited about this. So we are celebrating this year our 60th anniversary as a church. Isn't that amazing? 60 years of Faith Baptist Church. And this church has seen some great ups and it's seen some great downs in the course of its history. That's just a reality of it. But the Lord has been so gracious. This last year, our best year numerically, financially, of any year in the history of Faith Baptist Church. We also continue to live and to have our ministry in the second fastest growing county in the state of Indiana with a burgeoning population, which simply means this, there are more prospects now than ever before. How many were here when this building, when construction began on the current building? Raise your hand if you were here when construction, look, there's several hands, there's several hands. Okay, Pauline, this is a whole different community than it was back then, isn't it? What was this, a bunch of cornfields, wasn't it? Wheat. She thinks wheat. John, was it corn or wheat? Everything. Okay, corn. Okay, well, we'll discuss that after the service. But it was just a bunch of fields. It was just a bunch of country. And now this whole area, land has been bought so quickly and building is happening so quickly and development is happening so quickly. We project, you look into the future, the growth of Hendricks County. They would not be building that big new project up 267 in Brownsburg if this community wasn't exploding in growth. This is an explosive growth community. And so for those reasons, we have to position our church rightly to be able to reach our community. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. The goal, I know you want me to talk about the building, and I will eventually, but the goal is not a building. The goal is evangelism. Now, I hope I made myself clear. Long time ago when we started thinking about building new buildings, someone said to me, Pastor Bonnie, when you get into the new building, surely your ministry philosophy will change. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you're not going to run all those buses. You're not going to bring a bunch of dirty kids into a new building. And I looked at that person. I said, no. I said, I would never change. My ministry philosophy does not change, and it is built on evangelism. But we've got to have more room to reach more people, to be more effective in what we're doing. So we're going to talk about that, but before we get into all that, I wanted to give you a little bit of background as to how we arrived at some of these goals. And you're going to hear tonight eventually goals about the building toward the end of my presentation, but also a strategic plan for 2018 with some really good detail. But how did we come by these things? Okay, we didn't just do this pell-mell. We actually put a lot of thought into this. And so, if I can have the first slide, please, Stephen. Mash the button. There we go. Forward by faith thinking is what we're calling this. We wanted to organize things into a categoric way that we could analyze, and some of you that are analytical, you'll appreciate this, analyze things. So what were we looking at? We're looking at four key aspects of our strategy moving forward. And I'm just going to define those quickly for you. I'm not going to stay here a long time. First of all, the vision, okay? Where is God leading us? Now you say, Pastor Monty, how do you determine that? I didn't hear an audible voice, and I didn't sit down and cross my legs and hum and hope that something filled my brain. None of those things. But what I did do is I look at Scripture, and I look at the circumstances God has put us in, and the question is, where is God leading us? He is certainly, and I will be very dogmatic, He is certainly leading us to the next steps on everything that we're doing, the next steps. So we're going to analyze that a little bit more, but that's the vision. The mission is this. What are we doing? What is the overarching thing that we're doing, trying to accomplish? The values are these. Why are we doing what we're doing? I think it's good for a church to step back and ask themselves why. Over the course of time, sometimes programs can attach themselves to a church that I'm not saying this has happened in our case, but it's possible, that are no longer viable or maybe weren't viable to begin with. We ask ourselves why we're doing these things, and then the strategy, and that's where you get down to brass tacks. How are we doing it? What are the things we're going to do to accomplish the goals? So let me run through those very quickly, if I can, with you on the next slide. Our vision, and this is clear, it has never changed. To reach every person in our community and every people group of the world with the gospel and to teach them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now notice that. It is an evangelistic vision. If you're not evangelistic, you don't have to expand your facilities because you don't have someone to come. You're reaching the community. But not only the community, to reach people groups of the world, that means our missions emphasis is a part of our vision. It is a huge part of our vision. Because the Lord has left us with the Great Commission. So reaching our community, reaching the people groups of the world with the gospel, and then to teach them to be followers of Jesus. What does that mean? To go deeper, to instruct them as to what it means to be a Christian. Really how they can be a Christian that replicates other Christians, a soul-winning Christian. That is our vision. Next one, Stephen. What is our mission? Well, here is our mission, and I want you to think about this. We exist to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truths of Scripture, to deepen believers' relationship with Christ and others, to equip volunteers for effective Christian service, and to serve others in the church and community. So, consider the word proclaim. What is proclaim? Okay, proclaiming means to preach, and we've given you a couple verses on the screen. It means to preach the gospel. The ministry of Faith Baptist Church is pulpit-centric. The most important thing that happens here is what I'm holding in my hand right now. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God from the pulpit. And we exist to proclaim this message, not only from the pulpit, but personally and individually to other people outside of the realm of this ministry. Next one, Stephen. So proclaim. To deepen. If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Beyond just proclaiming, we want to teach and to train people to grow in their faith. Real Christianity happens happens when we learn, when we grow, when we're committed, when we get to the point where we systematically understand the Bible. Part of what we're going to be doing is re-emphasizing and increasing our discipleship program. I disciple sometimes during the course of the week, as do a number of the pastoral staff members, but we're going to be increasing that program. So deepening things. Then equipping. Equipping is perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. What does that mean? An example of that is February, where we're having this special day where we're going to train, the special training day. It is to give you the skills and the ability necessary to serve. It is to present you with a broad set of opportunities so that every person in the church has something to do and knows how to do it. That is, by the way, a job of the pastoral staff, to equip in ministry. And then the next one, to serve. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. What is that talking about? It is service within the church, and it is service outside of the church. And as you're going to see when we get into our strategy in a moment, we have a number of ways, of course, to serve within. Many of you are familiar with that. But then also this year, a number of events that we're going to sponsor to serve without and to reach our community. And these events, by the way, are family-oriented things so that parents can involve their children in all kinds of outreach events that we have planned for this year. So that is our thinking in regard to what God is doing with us. But we want to consider this quickly, our values. I think this is important. Why do we do what we do? Now listen carefully. It is not for the purpose of building the church. No. It is not. The purpose is to win people to Christ and let Christ build his church. Does everyone follow what I'm saying? My job is to bring the material. His job is to build the church. It is not to prosper as a human organization. The church is not a business. What we're here to do is bring glory to Christ by witnessing his gospel in the most effective way possible. So our values really deal with philosophy, what we believe, the core of everything. And number one, it is biblically based. The Bible is our sole authority, specifically for a church, the New Testament, and I'm committed to this book. I want everyone to look this way. You will never have a preacher in me who is looking to please the crowd or the culture with the message. Never. Period. It's just not going to happen. I am an arch conservative because I am a Bible believer. And may I make the statement, I make no apology for what is within the pages of this book. And I'm not ashamed of the Bible. And the Bible, the message of the Bible, the entire Bible, is exactly what our corrupt culture needs. And apart from a direct and clear message that comes from Scripture without bowing to the whims of a perverted culture, apart from that, we have lost it all. I'm simply saying I'm not for sale at any price. Faith Baptist Church is not for sale at any price. This is our guide, and understand it will remain that. We do not follow church growth patterns and all these little seminars and goofy little trends that come down that have their light, say a moment in the sun, and then they vanish. We don't mess with that. Number two, we're fully devoted to Christ. The measure of our success is the ability to be and make disciples. That means serious-minded Christians. Now let me say, in a sense, if you were to read the literature on this matter, Faith Baptist Church, as a church where I pastor, is described in the literature as a high-demand church for a pastor. The Baptist denomination is high demand. You say, Pastor Monty, what do you mean? Well, I speak on some weeks 6 times a week, quite regularly. And that's high demand. And then there are other things, visitation, all those things, that's considered high demand. And so for pastors, they look at the independent Baptist movement, they say, wow, that's high demand. By the way, we still have Sunday school, and we're keeping it. We still have Sunday morning, and we're keeping it. Let me make an announcement. We still have Sunday night, and we're keeping it. We still have Wednesday night, and we're keeping it. But that's high demand. So someone looks at our church like this and says, wow, to be pastor of that church is high demand. It is, I agree. But you know what else is high demand? It's high demand on members. There's a little pressure comes. There's, well, that church is busy. There's always something going on. Of course there's always something going on. But the more devoted we are to Christ, the more serious-minded we are, the more we keep our focus, the more we see Him, the more we understand the need. The need. We want to be fully devoted to Christ. Number three, we want to be grounded in grace. What does that mean? We're completely dependent upon Him. And we acknowledge that in great humility. May I say this? I've said this many times. Anything good about Faith Baptist Church, to God be the glory. Anything bad about it, I'll take full responsibility. But anything good about it, to God be the glory. But grounded in grace also means this, that we in our ministry, we approach things from a gracious standpoint. I want every eye up here, okay? Sometimes there's a flavor of some churches that if they're very strong on the Bible, they come across as judgmental. Listen to what I'm about to say. That is not this church. This church is filled with grace. So if someone has a problem or a failing or a fault, we never pound them into the ground. We lift them up and love them to the feet of the Lord Jesus, who is our help and who is the balm of Gilead for our soul. That's been the spirit of this church. That will never change. While we stand firmly for the truths of this book, we love people no matter what. We love them where they are and where they ought to be. We love them through their issues. That has been a hallmark of our church that will, of course, continue. Passionate about prayer. We believe the attitude and action of prayer is essential for our direction, conception, planning, and execution of everything we do. How important it is that the members not only participate, but that they pray. And this year we're going to do something different. We're going to have some special times, service times, regularly scheduled times that we're going to devote for prayer specifically for what God is doing in this church. Those things will be announced as they come up. But I'm excited about that time when we can get together and pray and corporately ask God's blessing. We're seated where we are right now because of the prayers of people that were uttered over 60 years ago, asking God to put a church in this spot. Those prayers have been abundantly answered. The church of the Lord Jesus in this place has been protected. The gates of hell have not prevailed against it. And we're going to echo those same prayers as we move forward into our next steps. So we will be passionate about prayer. We will be committed to evangelism. I've already emphasized this. I cannot emphasize it enough. The church is not a social club. The church doesn't exist so that we can have a nice gymnasium so that we can play games. The point of this church is reaching lost people with the saving gospel of Christ. That must never change. The goal is not facilities. The goal is multiplied ministries. The goal is not how fancy is the carpet. Please don't ever get that. Don't ever. If I hear anyone, "Ah, Pastor Monty, we have to have all this high-end carpeting," I will pick the cheapest, tackiest stuff you ever saw in your life. That's not the emphasis here. You know, the emphasis is to love lost people and lead them to the feet of Jesus. That's what's valuable. Buildings come and go. There was a generation that was inspired to build this building on this site. Buildings come and go. The souls of men and women, boys and girls, they last for all eternity. The burden, the broken heart, the looking at our community and recognizing their lost state and recognizing that we have an answer, the increasing secularism of our age so that children who would have 10 or 20 years ago known Bible stories now don't even have a clue what that means. That is a mission field, and we're going to take advantage of it. We live in the midst of a growing mission field. So we are committed to evangelism, and then we're going to do this. We're going to be creative and innovative. We're to find ways to effectively bring the message of the gospel into all the world. Creative and innovative does not mean to compromise anything. But let me give you examples. Some years ago, many years ago now, a young man came to me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you ought to put all your sermons on something called Sermon Audio." I said, "What's that?" He says, "It's a platform so that people can listen to sermons that you preach and they can listen, tune in from all over the world." And you know what my initial response to that was? Who in the world has time for that? Really, that was what I thought. I thought, ain't nobody got time to listen to me. But the young man pressured and prevailed. So I said, "Okay, well, it costs $1 a sermon, so go ahead and do it." Today, over 4,000 people listen to those sermons every month preached from this church. Some years ago, someone said, Pastor, we ought to live stream all the messages. And again, my response is, well, ain't nobody got time for that. Who's going to watch this? Last week or the week before last, I received a letter from a missionary. I don't know that I've ever met him. A missionary in the Arctic Circle. He ministers in a town within the Arctic Circle. And in his letter, he had a picture of his TV in his living room and Faith Baptist Church TV service on. And he said, Pastor, I just want you to know you are a blessing to these missionaries, to us. We're missionaries in the Arctic. And every time we watch, we get a taste of home again. And they were blessed by that. I was astounded by that, encouraged by that kind of thing. So let me say, we will continue to do that, using technologies to the best of our ability, creative and innovative, to find ways to reach our community. I'm not anti-technology at all, and we're going to use what we can to reach our community for Christ without ever allowing, listen carefully, without ever allowing it to be a distraction. It will never be a distraction, but we will use technology. Continue, moving on. Next one. What is our strategy? Okay, and Pastor Wall, you be ready for this. In regard to our strategy, this is especially what we're doing for 2018. We have specific initiatives that we want to announce for this year that will build upon the philosophy of ministry that we've just presented. This has been, putting this together, has been a tremendous team effort. Pastor Wall has actually gone over the calendar multiple times, adding events, changing events, new events, and he's going to bring you just this announcement. Synopsis of these. You're not going to talk long, right, Pastor Wall?
I'll try not.
Okay, but he's going to bring you a synopsis of these. He's our calendar guy. So go ahead, Pastor Wall. And some of it's in your book.
All right, we're talking about distracting. What about the skinny jeans?
No.
I think that would be a great thing if we could talk Pastor Monty into skinny jeans. That would be great.
No, no way. You know, I'll tell you something. I should tell you this. I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. So Wednesday night, I knew Kurt Tidball was having an emergency heart thing over at IU West. So when I was done speaking Wednesday night, I put my coat on and went to the car with the intention of just driving straight to IU West and praying with them and fellowshipping with them. And I opened the car door, and because I was in a hurry, I jumped in really at great athletic form. I jumped in, and the moment I did it, I split my britches. And I mean, split them. I mean, I'm not talking about a small rip. I'm talking about, is this coat long enough? No way, Jose. And so I had to go home and change my britches. And then, so yeah, skinny jeans, no. No.
That would be distracting. So as we move from vision, which is overarching, where is God leading us, to mission, what are we doing? What are the four categories of things that we're doing? Proclaim, equip, serve, and to deepen, equips to serve. Then we move to why we're doing it. Those are the drivers behind what we're doing. And then so what the strategy is then, those are the very specific initiatives that we're putting in place. Some are a continuation of things that we've done and refocus them. Some are brand new, and so I'll go through some of those things with you. So within the categories of proclaim, this is probably one of our biggest categories. We're going to increase our presence in the Henderson County community, where we can hand out gospel tracts and gospel literature. And we're doing this by participating in the Henderson County Fair, at the National Night Out, and the Avon Heritage Festival. We are beginning to reap some of those benefits from the National Night Out. I've talked to several people even in the last couple of months that we met at the National Night Out, and so we had a good footprint there. We're implementing something new. It's the Go and Tell Evangelism Initiative. And that begins in March, and in your calendar, there's a calendar on the page you just turned to, so you can see the dates for all of those. But every month, beginning in March, so there are 10 of these events, monthly events on Saturday, where we are going to go out for an hour or two and specifically hit a targeted area with the gospel, hanging door hangers and inviting people to come to church and maybe having an opportunity to witness. But what we've seen is that our church really shows up and really jumps on board when we have event-based evangelism. And so that's what we're doing. So every month we're going to have a sign-up sheet. You'll be able to sign up on our website, and you're going to have those opportunities to come out as a church, a very casual and friendly opportunity. Bring your kids. We're going to have food here and going to go out. We'll tell you exactly where to go, exactly what to say, and you'll have materials to do that. So that's our Go and Tell strategic initiative. We're so excited about that. We're relaunching our church website. It should be up and running in the next couple of weeks. You'll notice a couple of differences on our website. Number one, while it's very member-friendly, it's guest-centric. What does that mean? That means we view our website as a front porch to our church. And so if someone is considering visiting our church, they will initially many times visit the website. And so we want things to be laid out in such a way that's conducive for guests to find out more about the church. Also, we'll have a separate member portal that you can access by password that allows you to sign up for events and also allows you to access, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it'll allow you to access our new online church directory. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. We're going to continue the weekly teen outreach. Pastor Scotty's been doing that every week. Our kids have been involved with it, and it's great. If you have a teenager, talk with Pastor Scotty and get involved with the teen outreach every week. He's doing more of that this coming year. And also some installation of some in-house media production equipment, and that'll help make the broadcast and live streams and those things much smoother. So we go from proclaim to deepen. This is something that we've done several years ago. I remember doing this several years ago, and we're doing it again this summer. We are offering a midweek summer series that meets on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Of course, when Awana ends, Awana ends on May the 2nd, and so 2 weeks from that, we'll begin our summer series. There are 9 weeks of classes in the summertime that are you're going to have your choice during those 9 weeks to take three different courses. Pastor Monty is going to be teaching a financial class. Many of you have probably heard of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and so Pastor Monty will be teaching that. Pastor Morris has a family class that he's going to be teaching, I think, specifically for husbands. He's been working on the curriculum, and I will be teaching an evangelism class. And so we're looking forward to those things, and details are coming soon. You'll see the dates in the calendar, but we have those are 9 Wednesday nights throughout the summertime. So be a part of those. Those help in deepen our relationships with Christ and others. We're going to reintroduce the continued discipleship program. We've also begun to produce daily devotion resources for the family to participate in together. One of the things that we see as a need for our church is that we have many families whose lives are very hectic, and we wanted to streamline the availability to have a devotion for the family. And so what we've done is we have made available, Pastor Morris has produced some incredible daily devotions, and we've made those devotions available on multiple platforms. We've made them available in print. We've made them available via email and then also on Facebook. How many of you have noticed on Facebook the devotions that are coming out daily? Yeah, many of you. And so read those, take advantage of those, share those. Those that we put those out there so that families and people that don't have a lot of time have those resources and they're able to do those things. This is an exciting thing that we've done is rebrand the adult Sunday school classes. And this is just a name change, but it means something, adult Bible classes. And really we're refocusing them into a concerted, evangelistic, mission-minded groups. And so we're working with the adult Sunday school teachers on that, giving them opportunities to serve. One of them is every month, the first Saturday of every month, the Good News Mission has a service on the first Saturday. And so the Sunday school classes are all participating in those events and all hosting those. We used to do that. And I think a church of our size and the resources that we have, we need to continue to do that. And so many of the classes have already picked their dates. And so we're going to redo those. And there's also some ways that we are actually going to allow the Sunday school classes to do some guest follow-up so that when someone visits our church that we can immediately connect them to a Sunday school class and to a Sunday school teacher and those that attend those classes. Pastor Scotty is implementing a 180 students group time on Wednesday evenings following the preaching time, and that's really an opportunity for our teenagers to talk to one of the adult sponsors and to find out really how they can apply the truths learned in the preaching that night. And then we are going to build, I alluded to this a minute ago, build a new church directory. So we're going to have a printed directory. This, we've done it every 3 years. But last year would have been the time to do it. But this is the 60th anniversary year, so we thought it would be a better time to do it. Plus, we are launching all of these initiatives. And so with that, we're having a printed directory, also an online directory. Now, I'll say this. If you'd like a printed directory, we'll print as many of those, and we'll make those available to you free of charge. But also, the online directory is something that's new that we're doing this year. And what that allows for us is to have an updatable and editable online church directory. So we've had so many people join the church in the last 2 years that it's hard to keep up. And I know we have so many people that are not in the directory. And so we can update those very, very quickly. And so we can make that. And I think that'll be good for us to deepen our relationships with one another. Proclaim, deepen, equip. So we're hosting our annual volunteer training day on February the 10th. Ministry leaders, by the way, are the ones that are going to be teaching those classes. And those classes will go throughout the day. And make sure that you sign up to get your t-shirt. We're going to be training volunteers to be effective and competent as a personal witness as well. Pastor Ogden is going to be conducting a music workshop sometime throughout the year to help equip musicians and choir members. We're implementing and introducing a new church management software. Many of you, this doesn't mean much to you, but what this does is that helps us keep more accurate, better records. And then it also allows us to have more streamlined attendance taking and a children's ministry check-in system, which is something that really tightens our security up here at Faith. And I think that it's needed in our day and time. So you'll hear more about that. And then, as Pastor Monty's going to talk about this quite a bit later, we are taking the necessary steps to build our new church. We have already moved down the road with this. The deacons in the church voted to pass this in November, that we were going to make the initial movements with our financial advisor and then also with an architect. And so we've begun the floor plans and the site plans and some of the elevation plans. I think we've gone through about 5 proposals on those. And so we're moving forward with those. And Preacher will give us a better timeline. So we're doing that. And then lastly, serve. So this year we're conducting 4 Faith at Work events. If you're familiar with the Sheltering Wings Women's Shelter in Danville, we are going to be partnering with them in the spring for a spring cleanup. So keep your ear to the rail on that to hear details. We are hosting a new neighbor summer fest in July. What this is that our new property, we are going to host an event, almost like a big barbecue, big kind of a carnival type thing and cook out there at the property. And we are going to invite everyone in the area, everyone within several miles of our new property. And we're essentially saying this, folks, we're moving into your neighborhood and we want to invite you to our church. And so we're going to invite everybody to come over for that. And so I hope that you can be a part of that. By the way, just as a side note, one of our Go and Tell events is actually just inviting people to come to that. So that'll give you an idea of what we do on those days. A public servant week in the fall that we deliver and cook meals to our local law enforcement and fire departments. I've already been in contact with many of those places, and we're working out schedules and getting dates together on that. And then we're going to work as a church with a bus family Christmas banquet. We've had lots of help in that in the past, but I'd like to re-up that again and refocus our efforts on that. This is something that we're doing in May. This is a Evening of Hope Cancer Survivors Banquet. We're really excited about this. We have rented the Hendricks County Conference Center many times for different occasions, but we're doing this again because we simply don't have the facilities. But we are hosting an event, a banquet on Friday, May the 4th, in which we honor all of those in our church family and their families who have battled or are currently battling cancer. And we also wanted to take a step further. You may have friends, you may have family members that have battled or are battling cancer. We want you to invite them to come as well. And we're going to have it catered. It's going to be an incredible meal, very kind of fancy, and we're looking forward to that. We also have as our keynote speaker that night, Randy Ollis, who is the weatherman on Channel 8, Wish TV Channel 8. And he is a believer, a strong believer, and he is a cancer survivor. He's our keynote speaker for that. So that's on May 4th. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. And so then lastly, I'll say this. We're also going to be installing a sign on the property. We've talked about that for a long time. We thought, well, when is the right time to do it? Folks, now is the right time to do it. And so we're putting a sign on the property that essentially says a Faith Baptist Church will be building here soon. And it'll kind of create a little bit of a buzz in the area. And so we look forward to doing that. These are initiatives that give some details to the broader mission of our church. And so we look forward to those. Make sure that you keep this calendar with you. We're going to produce some magnets for you to have these dates. And so keep this in front of you and build your family calendar with this calendar in mind. Preacher?
I know you're going to enjoy that, and many of the events this year are very family-friendly. We want kids involved in all of these different things. I'm particularly excited about that special cancer survivors and cancer battlers dinner, because I want you to be thinking now about people you can invite to that. We have, of course, a special speaker who's fairly well-known, the weatherman, but the gospel is going to be clearly presented. And again, this is an outreach. This is what we're doing, but it shows we love and are concerned for and care for these people. We're going to have special times of prayer for these people. We're going to extend a loving hand to these people, but they're going to receive, they're going to hear the gospel of Christ. This is evangelism, and I want you to understand what the goal is behind that. All right, Stephen, if you could move on to the next slide, because here's what you wanted to see. Here's what you're very curious about. Our new building. Let's look at some details, okay? Under details, the sanctuary, and this, of course, we have conceptuals done, but within 2 weeks, we'll be moving into the architectural phase. Those of you who understand know you have conceptual drawings, but then you have the architectural drawings that go into the details telling how it will be built. There will be a seating capacity of 800 on the main level. An additional 300 seats would be added during a later construction phase. That would be in a balcony level. The building is designed in such a way that both sides, what would be these sides of the building, can be removed and then expanded, so you can have more on the ground level. So up to what was the grand total if we went through all of this? A little over 1,400, okay, is the possible for building on that site in that particular phase. So I think we have plenty of room in regard to that. There will be designated counseling areas when people come forward or desire counseling. There will be a baptistry, of course, with changing rooms, an 80-seat choir loft. There will be a choir rehearsal room as well as audio-visual rooms relating to the auditorium. So much more space, more flexibility. It will be continental seating, which means it's kind of angled around like this. There'll be a gradual slant on parts of the floor so that it leads down to where the pulpit is, and you understand the idea. We're also planning, and this was something we debated back and forth. We talked with our builder, financial consultant, at length about this. My initial thought was, well, we have to, you know, have a gymnasium, meet in a gymnasium for a while, and then build the other phase. But I think we don't have to do that. In fact, we're not planning to do that. We're planning to put a gymnasium up with the auditorium. We did have to cut back some square footage in some other areas to do this, but financially it made more sense to do it all now than to try to do it in phases going down the line. So the project will include a full-size gymnasium, movable dividing wall to make the area very versatile. Fellowship space for up to 420 people at tables, a kitchen three times the size of the current kitchen, a WANA opening and game time areas, a Kids for Christ Junior Church area, and areas for new Bible classes for the adults. Okay, those are things involved in the gym fellowship hall. The nursery is over twice the size of the current nursery, separate quiet area for sleeping babies, a private room for nursing mothers, and restroom for volunteers. That has been looked at. The children's wing. I want to pause here for a moment. This is really important. The investment in our kids is paramount. When we were working with the architect, I said, we have to have working classrooms. And my highest priority is that the classrooms be secure. In other words, in such a way that we don't have 10,000 doors everywhere and people who can come and go at whim. And so he designed for us something that keeps our young people in a very safe and controlled environment. I'm really excited about this. There'll be a special check-in system. Everything will be under careful control, and all of it in a special children's wing dedicated for only children's ministry, 2 through 6 grade, secured check-in location. 2 restrooms will be located right in the wing, so children don't have to leave that area. 2s and 3s and 4s and 5s have a play area in their room. There will be a ministry resource room. There's also an area where we're going to have an outdoor playground that won't come immediately, but it will come very quickly. Okay, an outside playground that'll be fully fenced for the kids to play. When you eventually see the plans, once they're finalized, I'm going to unveil those when they're finalized. When you see the plans, you'll note that we have much of the building is, of course, toward the front of the property for the sake of visibility, but then we have just tons of property on behind that for future expansion and for room for youth and things like that. Okay, that's the children's wing. the students. There's a dedicated student ministry area for our young people, our teens, three times the current space found in our youth basement, seating for over 100 teenagers, area for games and storage, and access, very close access to the gymnasium. This is very well designed. The next one, please. Adult Bible classes. Every adult Bible class has a classroom to meet. Classrooms are sized to accommodate numerical growth, so roughly double what you currently have in most cases. Each has a counter and sink for refreshments. That was my thing. I wanted that. Well, I don't want people traipsing around with water down the hallway and spilling coffee and just making a mess. So I thought I'd make the mess of the room. And then located conveniently to the restrooms and sanctuary and children's wing. And so that's the adult classes. In general, the new building is approximately 45,000 square feet. We are currently functioning in 22,000 square feet. Okay. And the building is built in such a way that it can be easily expanded. And that's really exciting. So we're essentially doubling the square footage in which we have to function, with the possibility of easy expansion on ground that is easy to build upon. And the builder, the design man we're working with, this is his specialty, Omega Church Consultants, really understands our needs and potential needs and wants to make it easy for us to grow into the future. The floor plan has a very simple layout. There will be wide corridors. There will be a bright lobby with a glass front wall and two porticos for a lobby drop-off. So all of that, by the way, we've incorporated the bus ministry. They'll have a separate area for drop-off and pickup of the bus ministry, for bus parking, for bus turnaround. All of that's been incorporated into the plan to keep the children in their children's wing, which is safe and secure. I'm very excited about this possibility. I know you'll be as well. All right, next slide, Brother Stephen. Okay, well, when is this going to happen? This is where you should get excited. We've been working with the architect on the floor plan, elevation, and site plans. In the next couple of weeks, those plans will be complete, and he will be into architectural drawing very quickly. The spring of 2018, floor elevation and site plans are finalized. Architectural designs begin. That should happen, you said, within 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks will be in architectural design. On March 18th, we will kick off the 2020 Vision Capital Campaign. Now, that's the money that we're going to need. We're going to talk about money on that day. Just start giving now, okay? Don't make me do some kind of song and dance and pony routine. And don't put me. Just start giving now, okay? Just give now. You spread your money. How much should I give? Give as much as you can. And then give a little more. Okay, we have a plan for raising the needed funds, but it's so much nicer when the church just says, hey, we're just gonna do this. Okay, and I'll give you the plan. We'll go through the whole plan, but that kickoff is in March. Then this coming summer, architectural designs will be close to finalization along with obtaining all of the necessary permits from the town and from the county. Fall of 2018, the site work will begin with a groundbreaking celebration. Okay, so this is this year. Site work begins. Site work is followed by construction, which continues through 2019 and into 2020. Okay, this is the tightest timeline we can come up with, okay, because of winter weather, because of things like that, the site plan, all this. This is the tightest timeline we can come up with. One of the scenarios we talked about was the idea of selling the church building first. For a long time, I thought that was necessary. It's not necessary, and we'll demonstrate that numerically later on. But I felt like we had to do that first. But then the issue came, where would we meet? Where would we meet? Well, not in your living room, because you don't want all these people tramping into your house. So where are we going to meet? And so, well, someone said, well, rent a building. Well, then, here's the other question. Where do you put your stuff? Ever thought about that? I mean, this church has been here for 60 years. How many people know we have a lot of stuff? We may only have 22,000 square feet, folks, but we have a lot of stuff. Let me tell you, someone asked me the other day, walking through my house, which has a lot of stuff, somebody asked me, they said, Pastor Monty, have you ever read a book on minimalism? You know, minimalism. I mean, this is a way to say you have too much junk, right? Have you ever read a book on minimalism? And my response was, well, yes, of course I have. I have 12 of them. And so we have a lot of things. So the idea is we cannot go that route. So it's better to just be meeting here. Will this building sell? Will it sell? Yes. in God's good timing. You say, Pastor Monty, how do you know? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It will sell. By the way, the delay in its selling may well be the increase in value in property in this community as compared to when we first put it on the market, okay? And understand something. Brownsburg has this big, fancy, uppity. How many live in Brownsburg? Y'all are uppity, okay? This big, fancy, uppity thing going on 267. Don't you think that Avon's going to take that line down and not try to do something better? Our biggest problem is the centerpiece of our town happens to be a junkyard. Not to, LKQ is our centerpiece. It's the anchor of our community. But anyway, we're going to catch up one day. And when they do, this value, this property is going to be of great value. So I would just emphasize that. So spring of 2020 will be dedication Sunday service together in the new church building. Okay, that is the plan moving forward. And again, that is a tight frame, but it is doable. It is excitingly doable, and we are going to show you how. Stephen, what is going to happen? Now, watch this carefully. This is not all the math that you need. And let me say for those of you who are mathematically inclined, if you want to go into detail, a person to speak to would be Pastor Ogden. Harold Wallen has done a lot of analysis of our church finances. He has the background in this. And then we've also had our outside people looking at this matter. So the consultant firm that we use, what are they called again? Not Omega, Crossbridge Funding is looking at this. So we've had multiple eyes on this. If you're a numbers person and you come to me and you want to drill down on all the specifics, I'm going to most assuredly disappoint you, okay? But if you go to some of these people who know the numbers better, I'm just giving a broad generalization as to the numbers. Now, cash on hand, we have over $600,000 cash. By the way, no debt. The amount of stuff that this church owns, houses, lands, vehicles, church auditorium, the amount that we own, we have zero debt on any of it. Our 25 acres down the road is completely paid off. We did that recently, $600,000 cash on hand. We're going to launch a three-year capital program of $1 million. That means raising a little more than $300,000 per year in excess of what we normally take in. That is more doable than you would imagine. Here's the good, the bad news. I'll give you the bad news. The bad news is in 3 years, I've got to have $1 million. That's the bad news. But the good news, it's sitting in this room. Amen? Boy, y'all just got a little nervous. I can tell when y'all get nervous. What did he just say? Honey, hold on to your purse. No. That is the good news. But can I say this? Over time, and with a sacrifice that comes by faith that we talked about this morning, I think that's going to be wonderful. We have a three-year capital. And by the way, what a privilege. What a privilege to lay a foundation, not just for a building that we will worship in, but for a place where other generations we know not of will worship and hear the word of God and come to know Christ. Don't forget about that generation, many of whom are gone, who laid that foundation so that we can be here. Okay, don't ever forget about those people. I want to be one of those people. It's a privilege to do that, to lay that foundation for the future. A loan amount of approximately $3 million. The affordable building then comes out at about $4.6 million with an annual payment of around $200,000. But now here's the thing. If you're doing the math, this building is on the market for $2.5 million. Let's say, we wouldn't necessarily take this, but let's say someone offered 2.2. Oh, yeah, I'd take it in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? But let's say someone offered, say, 2.2. Notice how quickly your indebtedness can melt away. And then with $1 million you've already raised, does everybody see that? How quickly the payment can become really negligible. I mean, next to nothing. Does everybody see how quickly that can happen? So by moving ahead, we're positioning ourselves for that moment, and understanding that the Lord will have a purpose in selling this building. I have every faith, every confidence that that is going to happen, and we may get more than we ever imagined possible for as we move down the line. So if you want to talk more about the numbers, talk to Pastor Ogden, talk to Harold Wallen. They're very well familiar with those numbers. Next one. Move on to the next one. All right, what is our call to action? What am I asking the church to do? Look at the next slide, please. Number one, ask yourself this question. How is God leading you to join in this mission? Okay, you're here tonight because you're committed to this church. How is God leading you in regard to this? There are people sitting in this room right now who are pillar members of this church, without whom this church would not be here. I think of the Doherty family, pillar members of this church. I'm not going to name all of you, and if I don't name you, you're going to get all offended. The Wilsons, pillar people who've just been here forever and a day, okay? You know who you are. You've been through it all, ups and downs. I got in trouble by naming anybody. Okay, pillar families of the church. You all know who you are. Follow what I'm about to say. Every person in this room should have as his or her goal to become that. We said, Pastor Monty, we're awfully young. And there was a day and time when these people, who are by no means old, but there was a day and time when they were awfully young too. And you know what they did? They just stayed by the stuff to see the glory of God. Okay, consider that. In what ways has God gifted you to help the vision to become a reality? What are your gifts? What are your abilities? We have so much talent in this church. Apply those talents. So, Pastor Monty, I'm good at this, this, and this. Well, come to me, talk to me. We'll plug that talent in somewhere. Consider those things. Would you be willing to help carry out the initiatives? There are so many things. We get into the building phase. There will be phases of the building where we actually have the option of doing some of it ourselves. Wouldn't that be fun, guys? Yeah. You know why it's going to be fun? Because the ladies are going to cook for us. And we're going to do work, and they're going to cook. It's going to be wonderful. So think about those things. And is there an initiative dear to your heart that you'd like to learn more about? Something you've heard tonight, one of the strategic plans for 2018 that you want to be involved. Listen, don't be shy to be involved. Don't be shy to be involved. What are we going to pray about? Here's what we're going to pray about. First, that God would continue to guide our church with wisdom. We need His wisdom to know where He's leading us. Number two, what we're going to pray about, that God would bless our steps while increasing our faith. Okay, so watch this. Here's what's going to happen. I am headed this way. Notice I chose to my right, because I always go to the right. I am headed this way, okay? These are my steps. I'm doing that by faith and in the leading of the Lord. Okay, that's what we're doing. We're taking those steps by faith. So ask that God will bless this and increase our faith. Ask that God would unite our body in a deeper way as we pursue stepping in faith into this plan. Sometimes it's scary because, well, Pastor Monty, you've got a lot of big things going. Now you're talking about this building. You're moving ahead on this. Aren't these opportunities for people to become contentious? The answer is yes, but not at Faith Baptist. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not that way, okay? I'm here for 20 years because you people are way better than that. If someone might have a question or a concern or a problem, channel to the proper sources, okay? Never stir up contention within the congregation. This church does not have a problem with that. It is very rare that a church doesn't have a problem with that. We want unity, that God would enable us to increase our influence in Hendricks County for Christ's sake. We're seeing Him do this. And I think it's just going to multiply many, many fold. And again, the goal is people hearing the gospel and coming to Christ. And then that God would place a hedge of protection around our ministry, guard our testimony. We need His grace, His strength, His protecting hand upon all of us. That's important. Pray that God would supply the resources needed for us to do His will. And again, in our giving, in what we're doing financially for the church, what more can we be doing? This is the time to move forward with that. And pray that God would supply those things, that God would receive all the glory for what He accomplishes through us. That is very important to me. I don't want an ounce of glory. I'm not interested in it. I am only interested in Him receiving glory. the presentation you're seeing, the little brochure you have in your hand. Those are not things that I wrote. I collaborated with every detail of those things, but our staff put those things together. Very hardworking staff, very detail-oriented staff. They did this. No human being should ever think to receive 1 ounce of glory or praise for anything that happens. To Jesus Christ be the glory. And we are privileged to be His servants. And so that is Forward by Faith, what we're planning for 2018. I hope you're excited about it. Now, the end of March, again, we're going to have the time when we're going to unveil all the plans. At that point, listen, you'll be able to see things in real detail, not just conceptual things, but things in real detail, things that are set in stone. We're very excited about that. We have collaborated with ministry leaders in the church in regard to details of that. So some folks in the church already know some of the details. Well, here's what we're going to do tonight as we close our service. We went just a little over a normal service, but I'm going to ask some men to pray. I think Bob McQuarrie, I'm going to have you. Why don't you come up here, Bob McQuarrie? I want you to pray. Dr. Loader, please, if you'll make your way up to pray. I'm going to ask John Doherty, please, if you'll make your way up to pray. And then I'll close this. And what we're going to ask the Lord to do is simply to guide us and direct us as a church. Now, here's what I want. Congregation, listen. Do not put your, some of you are looking at your cell phones. Stop it. Stop it. Gentlemen, come on up. Put your phone away, okay? I want you to genuinely pray as these men are praying. I want you to pray in your heart for the things that they're praying. If you look at your cell phone, you're not right with God during prayer, okay? I'm serious now. Don't be looking at a dumb thing, okay? No. You're going to pray along with these men because we're asking the God of all the universe to help us as we take steps that are both exciting and challenging, that are thrilling, and that are for His sake and for His glory. So with these men will pray. I'll ask you to join in prayer with them. Bob McQuarrie, if you'll pray first, then Dr. Loader, and then John Doherty will pray.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are awestruck by the possibilities that are before us. We recognize that many have labored long before we've been here, and we are recipients of their faith. And so we pray together as a congregation that we would bind our hearts in faith, believing that You are in this program, You are leading forward, and that You will help us to accomplish our vision of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the passion that we have in this pulpit to stay true to the Word of God. May we ever be faithful to that passion. May You find in us, Lord, the desire to be exactly what preacher said, that we would want to be pillars, just like others who have gone before us. Would You lead us? Would You direct us? Would You give us hearts of unity and commitment as we exercise ourselves by faith to see this great goal accomplished? We pray this carefully in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father, thank You for the burden that was shared tonight. We ask, Father, that as a church, we will keep our heart focused on the purpose of reaching this community for Christ. Father, I pray that these tools will not become distractions from the main job, but that they'll be used to reach many, many people for the Lord. I pray that the Great Commission that this new building and the programs that are carried out will indeed be tools that will accomplish that goal that You've given to the church. I pray, Father, that as a church we'll keep that burden fresh and alive. It'll never become content just to have a club, Lord, that will be conscious of those around us that need the Savior. Lord, we pray that as You provide us with this tool, that You'll provide the finances, help each of us to do what You want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this church. Lord, a great church in our community. And Lord, we want to make it a greater church, not for our glory, but for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to uphold him in everything that we do. Lord, we're unworthy people, Lord, but you use us anyway. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray, Father, for our vision here that we've seen tonight, Lord, that it would come to fruition, and Lord, in your time. Lord, we pray that you would use each of us, Lord, to support this work, Lord, as we move forward, that we might know that we're accomplishing what you want us to do in this area. And Lord, that we might see souls saved, Lord. More people join our church. Lord, we'll have plenty of room and easily expandable. Lord, we just pray that you would use us to reach this area. Lord, that everyone would hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we'd always be missions-minded, that we'd send out missionaries, Lord, that our church would grow and we'd see possibly a school or whatever, Lord, that you might lead us to. Lord, that we'd raise up young people to serve you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would get the glory for all of this. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to raise these funds to meet the needs here, Lord, and everything would be in your timing. We pray now that you would continue to bless and, Lord, use each one of us, Lord, in this building plan, Lord, that we might do our part. We pray now and you continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, thank you tonight that we serve a great God who is beyond able and who has given us vision and passion and desire to move forward. Thank you, Lord, for the evident leading of your divine timing in these things. And now, Lord, I pray that we will commit these ideas to you, knowing, Lord, that you can change direction and that you can bring into our path things that we must overcome or allow things we must overcome. Father, knowing also that we commit our faith to moving forward every single step. Father, we will be as determined as we can be. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your help. Lord, I pray that you'll burden every member of this church with our responsibility to serve, to love, to pray for, to remain unified, and also, Lord, to give to the great cause of Christ in this place. Lord, thank you that we can, this late in the church age, maintain a testimony of fidelity to the Word of God and of conservative Christian ministry. Help us, Lord, to shine as a light, the gospel of Christ, that souls would be saved. It is our desire, Lord, that this would be a place ongoingly, a soul-saving station, that you would use this to change families and lives, their lives on this earth and their destiny for all eternity. Father, we commit these things to you. We only would do these things to bring glory to Christ and to expand the gospel influence. May you burden our heart with these things. May you guide us, give us wisdom, and direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand tonight as we're dismissed. We'll stand, turn to number 400.